Hello, and welcome to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, where you'll hear advice from experienced safety leaders on how to protect your people and business. I'm Peter Steinfeld. Today marks a huge milestone, our 200th episode. I really can't believe it. And I can't thank all of you enough for listening, liking, and sharing our episodes over the years. You are the reason the show has been so successful. For this special episode, we're bringing it home with a guest who has helped shape how we support our own employees in moments that matter. And that's Jenna Eichberg, Alert Media's Chief People Officer. Jenna has decades of experience and held previous HR leadership roles at General Mills, Capital Group, and Hunger Rush. Jenna shares how her leadership philosophy centers around care, culture, and safety, and why those three things go hand in hand. Let's listen in. Hey, Jenna, thanks for being here and helping us celebrate our 200th episode.
Woo, 200th episode. I'm so excited to be here. I feel really honored to be part of this really special moment in our history of the podcast.
Well, as Alert Media's Chief People Officer, what role do you play in employee safety and well-being?
Yeah, I play a variety of different roles. My role is to keep our own employees safe and really live out our mission. But secondarily, I want to make the very best place to work. We always talk about how we want to be the best place to learn, earn, and grow. And so every day it's about how do I invest in our people in a variety of different ways to create the very best employee experience and help our employees thrive.
I love that phrase, learn, earn, and grow. And I assume that if people don't feel safe, that they're not going to be able to do that well.
Absolutely. When I think about the environment you create in the workplace, it enables that sense of safety, and whether it's that psychological safety, that physical safety. And if you don't have that foundation, it's really hard for you to show up your best. It's really hard for you to feel focused on what you need to be working on. And when I think about safety in the dimension of my role, it's really important to me that every time our employees walk into our office, they jump on that Zoom, that at the foundational level, they feel safe.
So you've worked across manufacturing, aerospace, finance, and tech industries. How has that shaped the way you lead with safety today in your current role?
You know, when I went into General Mills, I was in a manufacturing site in Chanhassen, Minnesota. I was in the Pillsbury manufacturing site. And I remember my first day walking in, and the first thing I saw on the wall was lead with safety. The first thing I learned as an HR leader in the manufacturing environment is if I didn't lead with safety, then I shouldn't be there. It was my ticket to entry. And I really love this piece because leading with safety in that environment wasn't just about like my physical safety. It was also the quality and safety of the product that was going to sit on the dinner tables or the breakfast tables of families all over the world.
Do you think that organizations that work with heavy machinery tend to emphasize safety a whole lot more than, let's say, a tech organization, and it just gets ignored at those types of organizations?
I think there is very much a lean. Like manufacturing has a business imperative to do it. And I think manufacturing organizations, because of that business imperative, are able to take that mindset of, this is the right thing by our people. A lot of it is very much about care. Some of it's about regulatory requirements naturally. Whereas you go into a corporation, like in a corporate office, and just the overall risks around you are less, or that situational awareness just isn't there because you don't think about it. Whereas when I walk into a manufacturing site and I see heavy machinery, it's a little daunting. I know that there could be safety risks. It's very visible. You don't see that visibility. I was working in the financial industry in downtown Los Angeles. I went to get a cup of hot tea in the morning on my way into my office. And when I was walking from the break room into my office, a door opened and hit my arm. And I got a really severe burn on my arm. And it was interesting because that is a safety dimension. And I know that sounds silly of, well, we're drinking coffee, we're drinking tea in a corporate beautiful office, what could hurt you? But the thing is, while it's not visible, those safety risks are there. And I really believe if organizations were taking a more proactive approach, regardless of their environment, there is a genuine care for your people that will come with that.
Well, speaking of care, the phrase duty of care comes up a lot in conversations about employee experience. So how do you personally think about duty of care, and what does it mean to you professionally in your current role?
I personally feel accountable to everyone around me, whether I'm in my grocery store, I'm at my child's school, anywhere I am in the world, like I do care about safety on a personal note. And part of that is, I think in the world today, it's a little bit scary. You're seeing more hurricanes. You're seeing more wildfires. And part of it is, what are we doing as a society? And for me, what am I doing as a leader to feel more informed on what are those threats and risks around me? What am I doing to educate people? Because I think awareness is really key to people keeping themselves safe and making sure in every moment that I'm taking the appropriate actions, that I'm showing genuine care for my people. A great example is, I think about the wildfires in California. I think about some of the threats within my own community. And I think that's a little bit scary for people. And I feel like if you're having employees going into the workplace, those are things on top of mind for them. And so for me, in my role, it's giving them the confidence that we as an organization are thinking about it. We are proactively thinking about what are those potential risks and threats that could be presented to them, whether they're in the office or traveling for work, and how are we getting them the right information that they need to keep themselves safe? And how are we sharing with them information of, if something happens, we have the right processes and systems in place to keep you safe in those really critical moments, giving them that foundational confidence that we're doing right by them and we genuinely care about their safety and well-being.
You bring up an interesting theme that duty of care has evolved over time. And it seems like historically, like a long time ago, nobody cared about anything. Mm-hmm. And then it evolved into guns, gates, and guards. While you're at work, we'll keep you safe. But I don't care what happens at home. Now it seems like it's evolved to, wait a minute, if you don't feel safe at home because there's a wildfire in your neighborhood or there's a hurricane coming, how can you feel safe at work and be optimal in your performance at our organization? So have you seen that evolution over time?
Yeah, I think COVID was a game changer, right? Because the home became the workplace for the first time. And organizations had to think about not just how do I keep people safe when they're at work, but their work is all over the world, regardless of where they're sitting. And our employees started to expect that. Organizations showed a duty of care in a way they never had. And it set this expectation that no matter where you were, you have an obligation to keep your people safe. And we saw that really clearly during the war for talent because people could make decisions on who they wanted to work for. And all of a sudden, this dimension of, I want to go to an organization that genuinely cares about me, my safety, my well-being, and in the moments that mattered the most. And if my organization doesn't show up for me and doesn't show me that they care, I can go find an organization that does and feel confident in that.
So focusing on duty of care is good for business.
Absolutely. I think there is a business imperative. I talk a lot about Alert Media's mission, and I feel so inspired by our mission of, we help organizations keep people safe every day. And the reason that's so important to me is because it's not just the right thing to do. You need to do it for your businesses to thrive just as much as for your people. And if your employees cannot come to work and they can't be focused, they're not going to be productive. They're not going to contribute their all and go above and beyond. And that environment you create will determine how highly they perform in your organization.
What are some other examples of duty of care in action?
You know, a great example is, I talk about Alert Media as a benefit to our employees on an ongoing basis because it's not just about having a tool to alert you when you're not safe at work. It's also having that safety belt on when you're traveling personally with your family and you want to keep them safe in new and different environments. A great example of that was, we had an employee, him and his wife had gone to Morocco on their family vacation. He had his mobile app on and he was traveling. And all of a sudden, one of the largest earthquakes happened in Morocco. And it was really scary because local news wasn't getting information fast enough to them. He had Alert Media alerting him on all the information. He had two-way communication with us to help us understand where he was, what was going on, and for us to fuel him with the information he needed to be able to keep him and his wife safe. But most importantly, that information was a force multiplier in that example, because he was able to share all of that information with all of the people who were in that hotel, both their employees, their guests, because those people didn't have access to any information in that moment. There was power outages, there was a lack of systems in place, but the information he was able to use in that moment allowed people to A, feel confident in that moment of crisis where it was really scary and they were in a place that they didn't know, probably far away from their homes. But most importantly, they felt a sense of connection and certainty of what they did know. And that's our job. When I think about my job, it's to create that sense of clarity, certainty through information.
So it seems like just simply sharing information is a big part of duty of care. If you can just get people the information they need, that's like 80% of it.
Yeah, that's first step, right? Most critical step is someone informed? Do they have the information? I talk a lot about change management within the workplace. And part of change management and why people are so scared in times of change and uncertainty is because they lack the information and clarity and they lack control. And if you have control and you have certainty, you feel a sense of security that helps you maybe make more informed decisions. I think no differently about safety. If I know the threats and risks around me in a moment, I have those controls. I know what I can control that moment. I know what I can do. But most importantly, when I think about that second step, it's can I effectively communicate to those people and have that two-way communication? So again, that duty of care comes to life. That person knows that I genuinely care about them. And it's about what action do I take next? If I know that someone has evacuated from their home because they are in the middle of a wildfire and they have no family around them and they are just in a car on their way, what can I do in that moment to give them confidence that someone cares? And it might be of, hey, I'm here to support you. Let me know what help looks like. And let's be honest, a lot of organizations don't necessarily have the monetary support to be able to do a lot of things in those moments. But what doesn't cost money is getting them resources, tools, and information. And I hear from employees all the time after I send an alert just to check in on them when they have something near their home, just to say, it meant the world to me that you reached out and that you cared. You can't put a monetary number on that.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a really good point. From your perspective, who should be responsible for ensuring that employees feel supported and cared for, especially during difficult moments like the ones you described?
I believe it's everyone's responsibility. It is every single employee's responsibility when you walk into any place to keep each other safe. Now, I'm maybe naive to think humanity is always thinking about each other, but in my heart of hearts, I hope that in those crisis situations, that humanity shows up. And I think, especially in the workplace, if you create cultures and you establish values that are deeply woven into the fabric of your organization, that care should show up. And my hope would be is that every employee feels a sense of camaraderie and care for each other, that in those moments that matter, they're going to show up for each other, they're going to do the right thing, and that everyone around them is going to know that we all need to contribute right now. We all need to take action in those moments.
Building culture is really hard. So how do you ingrain safety and care in your organization? What's the best way to do that?
It's not easy. And I think part of it is going to your core values as a company and how does safety integrate with those values? One of the things that I really think about for culture is it's not one-dimensional. It's a series of intentional things that you do as an organization to show care. Part of it is establishing those values. It's also about your leaders role modeling those values each and every day. It's not just about the safety dimension of it, but care has so many dimensions. The psychological safety that shows up in your workplace. Do people feel like they can share an opposite opinion of someone else in the room and know that they're safe? Part of that is setting the tone for your organization is we welcome those diverse perspectives. We want to have dissent. Dissent makes us better. And if the safety dimensions are woven into every aspect of your employee experience, from how you physically show up in the workplace, whether at home or at work, how you attract and hire people that really role model the values that you've established are core to your culture. And that safety dimension can show up in a variety of different ways in all of those interactions. From the first day that person walks into your office, and it's really scary because everyone can think about their first day at work and you don't know anybody and you're excited, but you're really nervous. Do the people around you welcome you into that environment? Do they help you feel safe to bring your whole self to work? To the moments of you're in a meeting and there's this really healthy debate, but you know at the end of that debate that you can walk out of that meeting, even if you strongly disagreed with someone, that you had enough respect and care in that conversation that it doesn't impact those relationships. I think I've never been on a more high-performing executive team in my career. And what makes it so high-performing is that every moment that I spend with my executive team, I know that each and every one of them know me as a human. They personally care about me and my well-being. And when we get in those moments that are really hard, we're all going to bring our full perspectives to the table because we have enough deep embedded trust in our team to say what we think, even if no one else agrees. And know that there's a level of respect that no matter what, we're going to end up in the best solution for this business because we all embrace each other's diverse perspectives. And that's a dimension of safety that people don't talk about or think about, but I think is really core to organizations' health and their success.
Well, I think it can be uncomfortable for people to do that. It doesn't feel natural, especially if you're, let's say, older like myself, and you grew up in an organization where that just wasn't a thing and you don't want to express yourself. You can't talk about people's feelings and things like that. So what do you recommend that executives do when they're sitting down in meetings? Phrases they can say to kind of inject the idea of care and safety into their conversations and the way they think about doing business.
As leaders, there's so many different things that we can do to set the tone for psychological safety in the room. First thing is, are you welcoming that conversation and being explicit to say, I want to welcome different alternative perspectives in this conversation? The second is, I always say to everybody, an idea not put on the table is an idea we've lost. It's inviting that idea that everyone's voice in this room matters. And if you don't voice that idea, we won't win as one team. It's about what are you going to lose versus what are you going to gain? I think the other piece is about how are you coaching and developing people individually? If you're helping people and in one-on-one conversations like that, really trusted manager-employee relationship, are you creating safety in that one-on-one relationship? Are you making sure that you deeply understand your employee, you understand what's important to them, what their motivations are, maybe what their fears are, so that you as a manager can meet them where they're at? But when you get in that room, it's about also setting the tone for, we all have a vested interest in each other's success and the success of this business. I want us to all be candid with one another. I want us to be respectful of one another. Really setting out, what are our rules of engagement? And calling them out and putting them out there and inviting it. The other piece is being vulnerable as a leader. I will tell you is, I lead with vulnerability. I'm not afraid to tell everyone I make a mistake. I'm not afraid to tell my team, I don't think I have the best ideas. I want to hear your ideas. Or I'm not sure I'm correct here. Help me think about, what do you think we should do? Or also welcoming a quieter voice in the room that is a little bit scared to speak up, or maybe even telling them ahead of the conversation, we're going to be talking about this today. I really want you to come prepared to talk about this topic. And I know that that's not comfortable for you. So let's talk about what's going to make that comfortable for you. How do you have that meeting before the meeting that creates that safety net for that person who maybe won't speak up to make sure that your team is better because that person voiced that really important idea and made us better as a team?
That's a really good point. So how does creating a psychologically safe environments help employees and then ultimately benefit the organization as a whole?
It helps employees find their own voices in organizations. It helps them build their confidence and comfort that they know what they're talking about. And those ideas are valued in your organization. Because if someone doesn't feel like their voice and opinions are valued, they're not going to stay at your company because they aren't able to bring their authentic self. They aren't able to contribute the value and the strengths that they're bringing to your teams. So one is that person needs to feel that way to be able to give their all to your company. And secondarily, the important part of psychological safety is also about how does everyone feel around each other? If everyone's always fearful and questioning whether or not they can speak up, it doesn't necessarily lead to better performance results. It doesn't lead to a stronger, more successful business. It leads to people maybe making decisions they wouldn't typically do out of fear. So part of it is, how do you take away that fear by leading from the front as leaders, from setting the tone for why it's important, and being really clear that if you don't feel psychologically safe, here are all the different avenues and people you have to support you to help us achieve that. And I say us really intentionally, because if one person feels that way, there's so many other people who feel that way who aren't saying something in your organizations. And that duty of care is figuring out, what is that gap? What is contributing to it? And what are those intentional actions that you could take as a company to fix it? Because I believe anything is fixable, but if you don't have the information and awareness of it, our leadership can't fix it.
How do you view safety as part of the overall employee experience, maybe even as a benefit?
I think safety is a benefit. One of the things that I've really loved is our safety monitoring tool is something that I really see as a core benefit that organizations should be offering to their workforce, especially organizations that have employees out in the field, like in healthcare or sales or construction. Because in those moments, a lot of the time you are in foreign places and there could be a variety of risks that you don't even know what they are because you're in an environment by yourself and going in where different threats that you can't predict may present themselves. Another way that I think about leading with safety for us is this idea of keeping people informed and giving them the information they need to make effective decisions. And just keeping it on top of mind, having that situational awareness that something could be, I think that's really important.
Well, as we start to wrap up here, we've talked a lot about your leadership philosophy. What advice would you give to other HR or really any business leaders looking to improve their company's culture of safety and care?
The first step is talking about why it's important. Going back to your values as organizations and thinking about, how do your values translate into the sense of care? How does your mission tie to care? And what are all the different strategic ways in which you are articulating that? Is it through your employee experience? Is it through your talent strategy? Is it through how you actually drive mobility and development and growth within your organization? I would just say, think about how that safety and care can show up for you, because those are all moments that your workforce is looking to see what you're going to do. And it is a true competitive advantage to establish great cultures where people feel safe, they know you care, and they feel invested in that they can bring their best to you each and every day. And I promise you, your business value will come up. And I promise you, the growth and benefit you will get to your business is exponential.
Jenna, thank you so much for being on the show and for helping us celebrate our 200th episode. Hard to believe.
Peter, thank you so much for having me. I feel really honored to be part of this 200th episode of the podcast, and I've loved our conversation today.
To learn more about Jenna and her work with Alert Media, click on the links in the episode description. You can also watch the video highlights on Alert Media's YouTube page. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe out there.
Thank you for listening to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, the industry's most intuitive emergency communication and threat intelligence solution. To learn more about how to protect your people and business during critical events, visit alertmedia.com. Until next time.